Welcome to the Pintcast. I'm here with the birthday boy, Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. And welcoming back to the Pintcast is DK of Earth Sports News. Follow him on Twitter at Earth Sports News. How are you doing, DK?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. It's been an exciting week in the Champions League. We could say that the Germans have put their stamp of authority on it.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I think we took all 3 points drinking this weekend.
So we did.
We got all points, full points.
Yeah, we celebrated Arsenal's victory in style Saturday night for Joseph's monumental milestone birthday.
Yeah.
Was it the big 2-5 or what?
Totally. Definitely big 2-5. Yeah, but Arsenal did get 3 points at least.
Yeah.
At least. Maybe they can do you a favor and do it again this weekend against United. But
we'll talk about that later, I guess.
We'll get to that. So let's start with the action right off with Tuesday's Champions League match. We saw Barcelona come to Bayern. Barcelona still favorites in the odds makers books just because they, you know, just their pedigree and their history and whatnot. But a lot of people really thought that Bayern definitely had a good chance of coming in, you know, and really winning this tie and taking this. But I don't think anyone expected exactly what we saw. DK, how do you feel about what Barcelona brought to the table when they showed up in Germany?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've kind of said it for a while now. If there was a team that could, you know, kind of take down this Barcelona team, it's based on the season they're having, it would be Bayern. Barca, basically, I think they had a young center back and an injured Messi, but basically a full strength squad, you know, full strength 11 going into that. So it was surprising to kind of see them just not function, you know, to just be taken apart, dismantled so handily by Bayern.
How far down is on the pecking order is Song that he can't get ahead of an under 21? I mean, I know I don't watch a lot of Barcelona because it's a choice, but I hadn't heard of the kid before, and I know
I had never seen him play before. Apparently, he's a Spain under 21 international. But exactly, and the funny thing was, I was chatting with Barcelona fans a couple of weeks ago. You know, when the suspensions came up and the injuries and all that, it's like, well, you know, Barcelona fans. You know, I do follow a few of them, unfortunately. But they're saying, you know, who's going to play center back? And I responded to them, well, obviously, it's why you got Alexander Song, right? Because he's your everything guy. And all of them were mortified at the idea of him playing center back.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, I don't follow the Spanish league day in and day out to the degree that other teams, but I watch a few Barca games, and I know that he doesn't play too often. I know when he does play, it's the games that don't matter, or the games before Champions League when we're resting.
Right. Exactly. He played this past weekend, of course.
Exactly. Going into this, you know. But I mean, he has fitted in well. Every time I've seen him play, he's played very well. So I don't really know why, you know, he couldn't get in. But I mean, truth be told, I have heard of Mark Bartra before, up and comer. You know, because I just watched the U21 Euros last summer.
Yeah.
And he's cool. But I mean, I think it's just the whole, you know, Barcelona, that Catalonia thing. Like, they wanted one of theirs, and I think that's kind of always their kind of go-to thing if they can. You know, if it's feasible.
It's probably a bad decision in the end.
Retrospect will tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. I mean, whether or not it would have made a difference, who knows? I mean, I don't think Song would have made the difference in that match if he was the one playing. But you know, if this all goes back to, you look at the fact that their number one target wasn't signed last summer. They needed a center back, and they didn't address it, and it's bit them in the ass. You know, one,
yep.
I don't understand playing Mascherano at center back as much as they have. You know, when it's in a case like this, if this is the time that he had to drop back just to cover because of multiple injuries, then maybe I understand it. But really, to have him be one of your main options at center back, and he has made his career as a defensive midfielder, and he also – he doesn't really – even though he's a decent defender in that sense, he doesn't have the stature that you really want.
Especially not against the lineup
Not against Bayern.
I mean, I think that's a weird one because I think – correct me if I'm wrong – that for Argentina, he still does play defensive mid.
He does.
But Yeah, he does. But for Barca, he's almost, like, I consider him a center back now, you know, just because he's been there, what, 3-4 years now? And I'd say 85-90% of the matches he's played has been at center back. So
because they have Busquets.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that Busquets has kind of cemented his place as the number one in that position. And then, you know, they think that Mascherano is good enough to be in the first 11, so that's where they fit him in whenever Tarzan is, you know, out getting a new vines or something. I don't know.
He's getting a perm, probably.
Getting a perm?
Yeah.
Could be.
But the defensive frailty was definitely shown. I mean, they definitely didn't cope with Bayern's pressure very well at all. I mean, the way that Bayern harassed and harried was
impressive, to say the least.
Very impressive.
Well, I mean, when you see Robin, you know, tracking back, I mean, I think everybody – I don't think there's a person –
Everyone was
that
shocked.
Was watching, even if it was their first time, that wasn't shocked.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that Arjen Robben did in that match to shock me. As not just dropping back, but on the goal that he did score. He passed. And
I saw a pass.
He cut right. You know, he went to his right for the goal that he scored. I mean, he finished it on his left foot, but it was a step over into the – and that blew my mind. I've never seen.
I think he only went right because he saw the pick that was being set. the beautiful pick by Mueller.
Yeah, and that was – I mean, that's something that, you know, as far as controversy goes, I don't remember hearing too much about it, but I didn't know you could do that.
Well, I think Barcelona was complaining about that after, but
yeah. But the thing is, you can't. It's illegal. You can't set a pick like that. You know, you can run. There's sneakier ways of doing it. Obviously, you can run in a line, and you know, just kind of like one of those ways that you can make it look
right
less obvious.
But he
certainly
squared up.
Yeah, he moved into his path and then turned and squared up. It was a straight. That's an illegal moving screen in the NBA.
He didn't move up his hands like an old school pick.
Right. Bring up the elbows.
Yeah, and just hold them up. But, I mean, they all count the same, so as long as the ref doesn't say no.
And to be honest, it's not like Barcelona haven't gotten the rub of the green or some calls go their way in the past. Exactly. Forever. So, you know, no one's going to shed a tear about that for them except for their own crying culés.
Right.
Yes, just those culés. Kula? I don't know. I got no accent, no culture.
Kule. That'll suffice. Yeah. So I mean, Robin. So Mueller with two goals. He looked very good on the night. I mean, he's a man for big games though. He scores big goals in big games. He did choke last year's final, but he's shown for club and country that he's the guy to step up. You know, when it matters. He scored the first goal. He scored the last goal. You know, and he played a part in every other goal. He set a pick. I think he had an assist. He had an assist for the offside Gomez goal.
Yeah, I think he hit it. He headed it back across.
Right. So yeah. I mean, that's the one man that really sticks out to you there in terms of doing everything for him. But really seeing the defensive shift. I mean, they came out and played like a team possessed. Like what Joseph alluded to earlier. I mean, when you see Robin actually playing defense like that. You know, he and Ribéry were both tracking back. You saw them back in their own box, which is something that you never see. I've never seen Arjen Robben within his own 18, other than maybe on a corner kick.
Exactly. Ribéry, from time to time, I think he's a little more determined, or at least a little more selfless than Robben, which isn't saying much.
He's a better player than Robben.
That too.
Well, what was good about what Bayern was able to do is, you know, they obviously were set up for the counter, but most of the teams who try to do that against Barcelona can't retain the ball even long enough to make a good counter, and Bayern was obviously talented enough on the wings to carry the ball.
The technical ability that they have on the ball and the way they were able to move out of possession. I mean, a lot of those counterattacking moves. I mean, I was really really impressed. I was just watching it and just like, God damn. You know, you look at his turn and you're seeing it's taking, because they're under this much pressure from Barcelona when trying to play it out. But, you know, Ribéry's taking it, spinning, pivoting, cutting back between his own legs, you know, just to get the space. But then they're hitting these pinpoint passes that literally had to be that pinpoint to hit the small gaps that they were. But the thing is, they were firing on all cylinders and hitting all the passes where they need to be. So, you know, credit when credit's due. I mean, they played him off the pitch.
Yep, They've been doing that literally from day one of the season. You know, they raced out to a Bundesliga league. They've been leading the league. They've been dominating. I mean, did you watch that 9-2 game that they had a while back against, I want to say, Hamburg? I just so happened to turn it on, and every time they go forward, their passes are pinpoint. I just feel like they have so much, like, just purpose. Like, when they go forward, it's almost frightening. Like, I can feel like I feel their mental will, you know, from here. So, like, I wasn't shocked that, you know, that they did go at Barca like they did, and that they did have such, you know, a cutting edge, because I've been seeing it all season.
Yeah, I think this is something that we've seen coming. And, you know, I think as opposed to prior incarnations of this team, you know, even last year, everyone thought they should have won the Champions League. Not that they were necessarily the best team in Europe last season, but they're definitely better than Chelsea.
Right.
But that was a good team. And Bayern, for the past few years, I mean, look, they lost the final, 3 years ago when they lost to Inter also. In 2010, right? It was 2010, I believe.
2010, yeah.
I mean, so they've been up there, you know, but granted, they've lost big matches at Dortmund, and they've fallen behind them. And it looks like it may come to another one of those showdowns come the final. But
yeah,
they've always been kind of contenders, but no one's ever really thought of them as being, you know, they've always been one of the biggest powers and the strongest teams on a global scale, but no one's ever felt that this Bayern team was the best in the world, which is something that people are starting to, you know, to seriously consider.
They've been playing in this tournament fantastic.
Well, and the thing is, not just this tournament, they have been demolishing teams for the Bundesliga, but obviously what matters is when you come up against the biggest opponents and doing it.
Look at the road. I mean,
you know, no one's beaten Barcelona like this in since 97. And look at the pedigree of teams they've come through. They beat the mighty Arsenal barely scraped by.
We gave them the scare, though. I mean,
true.
We gave them probably pushed them on.
We're feeling pretty good now about our going out 3-3 on aggregate.
But I don't feel great about it. It's all we kind of have this
year. But by comparison to the way that Juve got smoked, and it looks like Barcelona are going to get turned over, things look a little bit better. Not that it means much, but it softens the blow a little bit.
The value on pride.
Yeah. But they've really announced themselves on the world stage now, and there's no one to really doubt their quality. You know, what we saw on display was an amazing counterattacking display and ruthless efficiency. And something that we saw again the next day. But were we going to say, DK, you have any more thoughts on this match?
I was just saying that the defense of Bayern needs to be credited too, because, you know, as big of a goalie as Manuel Neuer is, I don't think he made a ton of saves either. You know, like the defense, that back line of Dante and who was it, Van Buyten or whoever, just really impressed as well. But yeah,
what is that? I think Mario Gomez just scored another goal against Barcelona.
Yeah, that
soundbite just comes out whenever it happens. They just keep on reigning in Munich.
Yeah. So top to bottom, I think as far as the result that we saw on Tuesday, I think was kind of a culmination. Like you said, the last couple of years they've been up there, they've been in amongst, you know, they've been within touching distance of the top. And I think now they, with the signings that they made, the depth they have as a squad, you know, and obviously the bitter taste, I think, of losing the final in their home stadium last season, they're ready. They're here. They've arrived. You know, I can say that confidently.
Well, let's move on from them. Let's move on to the German champions, who came up against another daunting task. And let's start off before the match, because there was some really devastating news, to be honest. I am a Dortmund fan as well. So I was very, very worried they would take the wind out of their sails. You know, just the fact that it was on Monday, it was announced that Mario Götze's release clause had been activated and he'd be going to, you know, of all people, their bitter rivals, Bayern Munich.
Well, I think technically,
for 37 million euros.
Personal terms have agreed, and they have. Then they will meet the buyout in the summer.
They announce it, which of course is like, you know, whoever decided to announce it at that time. Certainly,
there's all sorts of theories on who announced it, but it comes out in which German
build
right?
Build.
Yeah, and it comes out. You know, what is it? Less than 48 hours before the match, and. Yeah. And, you know, you got that, and it's just like it was crushing. I mean, honestly, to me, I was really worried about it, because I'm like, you know, if Götze comes out and he played like garbage in the last round. He didn't play like garbage, but, I mean, he missed five or six sitters.
Oh, God.
He didn't play Which you'd what he's been playing.
Right. Like, he didn't play to the level. I mean, he was playing well, but he just couldn't finish to save his life. And then they talk about this being, you know, this deal just being announced, but it was made a couple of weeks ago, which meant this happened either right before or during that Champions League tie.
Most likely.
And then you start worrying, well, shit, is he going to produce? Are the fans going to get on his back?
Yes. Yep. Yes, yeah. They did.
Well, yeah. I mean, the reports are right about what happened to his brother. Had to leave school because he was getting
harassed.
Yeah, really? Harassed. Shit talked to. They spray painted his house Dortmund colors, and I don't know if they wrote anything either. But you know, I mean, I'm not saying it goes with the territory, but I mean, it's just I don't condone any of that behavior at all. But I mean, it's just terrible timing, you know, to be leaving to your big rivals like that.
It's for the news to break before what's, I mean,
the biggest
match of his life.
Game of not just his life, but I think of the club's career. Because I mean, up until a few years ago, I don't have Dortmund been this far forward in a European competition?
Yes, but only a couple times. And like it was like 97 was one of the 97, 98. I think they won in 97. They won the European Cup.
Okay.
Way back. But I mean, it's one of their first few. And by comparison to a team like Real Madrid, who has 9 European titles, you have that, wave. You have the fact they have a really young core at that team. I mean, the main core of the team is in their early mid 20s. Mario Götze is only 20 years old. Lewandowski is 24? You know?
4.
Yeah, that's 25.
I think Hummels might be 24, 25.
Yeah, Subotic is only like 22 or something like that. I mean, they have a young core, you know, and it's you worry about whether or not they can handle this kind of adversity, you know, without that experience.
Yeah.
But they came out and put that to rest, really. I mean, they came out and comprehensively I don't know if you'd say if it was more so than with Barcelona the day before, but I mean they comprehensively, you know, laid a beatdown on Madrid. I mean Madrid couldn't get a sniff of the ball. The pressing was so good by Dortmund. It was just
both matches. You know, I don't know if one really. To me, I guess the 4-0 seemed to stick out a little bit more. I mean. But I guess Madrid didn't – I mean, other than that mistake, I mean, I don't remember that many chances being created.
They really didn't have much of anything.
I don't want to – I remember watching and seeing a strike in the 85th minute and thinking, I think that's the first shot they've actually mustered for, you know, for Weidenfeller to actually save, you know.
Ronaldo had a free kick that he parried away in the first half. But, yeah, a chance from open play, there really wasn't much of anything.
Exactly. And that was frightening. I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw Cristiano dropping so deep to try and collect the ball and you know, move forward with it. And that happened a few different times that I can remember in the first half, just watching him kind of drop in and try and link. I mean, he wants the ball at his feet, but there was just nothing he could do. He's marked double time every time.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell whether or not if there was any booing directed at Götze while they were out there. I mean, well, here's the first and foremost, the atmosphere. Also, I mean, the atmosphere at the Westfalian was immense, to say the least. I mean, probably they say it's probably the best in Europe. And it was, I mean, and they got behind the team. You could hear them singing the entire time. And the fact they got that goal came in the 8th minute. It also might have helped. It probably helped Götze because, you know, he got the assist.
Yeah. Great cross. You know, good God. Pinpoint. Talk about pinpoint. Talk about laying it on, you know, on a sixpence, so to speak. And that was the perfect cross. Because, I mean, you look how closely Lewandowski was marked, and all he did was pull away, you know, and just stick a leg out because it just fell right where he needed it.
Yeah, it was a pinpoint cross.
Yeah, I think
that's
the goal. I missed that goal. I was just getting into the restaurant.
Yeah.
I just sat down, and I looked up, and it was 1-0.
It was beautiful. But then you know, it was all called into question just because – Hummels with that really, really poor back pass, who I can't remember who it was, but someone on Twitter had said it right before, was like, all this hard work and it could all be undone by a Hummels or Subotic howler, because it's just something that they're both good defenders. They're very good defenders.
Once in a while.
They're just prone to that big howler.
Was another round that he did in one.
Yeah, Hummels did it once, not that long ago.
Okay. For me, when I first saw it, I thought that maybe he was still a bit distracted by that penalty claim, because it was really like, you know, I think it was Royce who was clipped. Referee said no, and, you know, all the Dortmund fans and players were protesting, and Real Madrid before the blink, it had knocked the ball forward.
Yeah,
so
less than a minute. I think the ball went out, and there was a throw-in, and there was just a bad touch. And there was a bad play for it to get behind Hummels. Then Hummels' touch on that bounce was just, you know, didn't make clean contact. Yeah. So, you know, and then fell right to who you didn't want it to go to. And then served up on a platter to Cristiano. And what's he going to do from, you know, 8 yards out with an open goal? You know, he doesn't miss those.
No.
Never misses those.
Not with that much time to look at it.
Yeah. But, you know, the resilience they showed. I mean, they came back. I mean, that was also, you know, it's one of the worst times to concede right before halftime. You know, that was minutes before.
I thought it did look like it was going to change the match.
Well, especially because, I mean, they had a claim. It wasn't a stonewall penalty by any means, but it could have been called.
Hands down, yeah. I think I would have called it. I think I was claiming, you know, a penalty. But
I would have called it. That's just
yeah. One thing I've noticed is that in that match throughout, the referee was very kind of maybe lenient. He wanted to let the guys play because there wasn't a whole lot that he was calling. You know, a few different times I saw him say, get up, you know, play on, like, not a foul.
There was a lot of that. A lot of that. And there were a good amount of robust challenges, especially early in the match, you know.
I'm just wondering.
He kept the cards in the pocket, the most part.
I mean, Dortmund looked the better team. Not only did they have many more chances, but it just seemed like they just ran that game.
Well, let's give some credit to Gundogan, because he looked. I mean, he's been playing well. He bossed it against Malaga too. I mean, he's been playing well, especially all throughout these knockout rounds. And really, he's playing because he's not the biggest guy. And he's the guy who's basically replaced Nuri Sahin, you know. Sahin's come back there on loan, and he hasn't really gotten much playing time because Gundogan has been really running the show. You know, he plays ahead of that main holding midfielder, and I made a comment about it during the match. He was basically playing kind of similar to like an Iniesta.
As far as dictating from his position, you mean?
Well, dictating from his position and just kind of like his touch on the way he ran with the ball and his touch.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of had that silky touch, and his movement was just, it was really impressive. And you saw, and that front four that they have, you know, with playing with Kuba on one side, you know, Blazikowski.
Yeah.
So with Kuba on one side, Royce on the other, Götze in the hole with Lewandowski up top. I mean, look at the way they interchanged. And it was either guy on each side were both doing all, you know, working so hard coming up and down that line. But you look at the way they broke on that counterattack and just the sublime touches they'd have and the quickness and the movement. It was something. Someone made a good point about it, which was a little bit painful for us to hear. And then it was another Arsenal fan, our friend Elliot at Yankee Gunner, was saying, like, damn, this is how we used to play on the counterattack. You know, this is the way the Arsenal of old would break with pace and with flair. And you looked at, you know, there was no waiting. As soon as they got the ball, they ran at the defense, you know, dispossessed and immediately one ball up to the middle, a quick turn, an outlet, and off they went and off to the races.
One thing that I just want to also highlight about Lewandowski, in addition to the goals he scored, is his hold-up play is immense. You know, there are a few different times you see him, you know, battling with Pepe and winning, you know, the aerial duel, whether it's into his chest, ball into feet, and holding him up and allowing the rest of those kind of front four to get forward and link. I think, you know, you can't just, you know, that you gotta give credit to that, because I think that was a big feature of their play going forward, too.
I couldn't even recognize Pepe. I seriously didn't know who the hell it was on the pitch for the first 20 minutes because, dude, I don't know what the fuck's with these guys. I'll change shit up. First PK shaves his head and he looks like a dick in the last match. And then Pepe's hair looked particularly dark. Like it was dyed or something. I don't know. I'm just seeing him bald.
Yeah, because just Pepe with hair in general makes you take a second glance.
So when they hadn't zoomed in the beginning of the match, I was like, I was like, oh, that's Varane. I'm like, oh, that's not Varane. And I was like, wait a minute, who the fuck is that? Who got in the back? And it took me a few minutes. I was like, wait a minute, Pepe has hair? This shit ain't right.
Yeah, right. Double takes, triple takes. But yeah, I mean, that was him. He was there, and he was beat.
Well, you know, and Madrid fans were quick to say that he's the one. He was kind of at fault for a couple of the goals. I mean, it was his man a couple times. I mean, they weren't howlers. It wasn't 100% his fault, but I mean, it was his man several times that got away. I guess he was on Lewandowski, and didn't work out too well.
Definitely for the first goal, you could say he might have done better, but like we said, the quality of the cross kind of made that. Second goal was the kind of the pirouette and stab in, I think.
Yes, the nice turn and finish.
Yeah, I think Madrid just kind of, they thought he was off, or they tried to play the off. You saw all the hands go up.
They quit. But, I mean, I think even if they had run there, they were too far away from him at the time the ball was played. I mean, he made that turn. You know, the final touch wasn't anything spectacular, but it was, the turn was so good that all he had to do was just tap it in from there.
Yeah, outside of the footer, which is always cute.
But then, I mean, we have to give Lewandowski credit. I mean, so after that, the goal he scored in that third, and I don't know if you follow Janusz Michalak, you know, the guy from Press Pass, who's a Polish, you know, ex-Polish international himself. He made a comment, and I've seen him do it many times before, but he basically said, this is, Lewandowski does that pull back away from defenders better than almost anyone in the game. He really is a complete center forward. He really gives you everything. His left foot isn't amazing, but he has no problem striking with his left foot and putting away chances. But left foot, right foot, head, hold up play.
Yeah, you know. Pace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Link up play. It's all there. It's all there.
Yeah, and then even the penalty, man. Emphatic finish. That's the way to take a penalty, right?
I think as far as body language goes, the way he struck the ball just was screaming, fuck you. Like, this is a goal. You know, that was impressive. I just liked it. It tickled me.
Yeah. Well, people are also commenting the fact that he looked just so calm going up there. But, I mean, also, why wouldn't he be? He already had a hat trick in the match, you know?
Can't get more confident.
He looked like a kid in a playground. He went up there, and there was no question. He's like – and he knew from the – he's like, dude, I'm just going to bomb this thing right down the middle, you know?
Yep.
Emphatic finish and a well-deserved result, you know? I thought Royce was outstanding as well, you know? I just really, across the board, you have to say all those guys up front. I think the only guy – the guy who impressed the least, if you could even say that, or the least spectacular, I think might have been Götze himself, because Lewandowski had an amazing match, obviously, which is only raising his price tag. Unfortunately, that means Arsenal have no chance of ever signing him ever again. He'll probably be priced out of a Manchester United move too, most likely.
We'll see. We may have
unless you guys sell Rooney, and then we'll see. You guys got debts, man. How are you going to afford another £30 million striker?
You know, I mean, did you see that Carrington deal? We've sold the naming rights of our training ground.
Yeah, you guys have the most ridiculous deals.
Yeah, we've got money to spend. I think we do have money. No,
you guys find money to spend. It's not a problem. I know. But
not as much as Bayern.
Yeah, not as much as Bayern. Not as much as City, not as much as PSG. So, because those guys have unlimited bankroll. Well, Bayern doesn't, but I mean, they've got a lot of money.
They've got a lot of money.
So,
and it's not like they need to. They just keep buying. Well, they buy a $30 million player. They bought a couple of. Remember, I don't know how much Dante cost, but
Dante was priced. They bought straight up the middle, and Mandzukic wasn't cheap too. He was what, 15 or something like that, and then what, Javi Martinez was 30 something.
Yeah, he was a lot,
40 million euros or something. It was so I mean, they've got money to spend, and they're spending it.
They're spending it up through the middle.
Yeah, and as long as they keep winning, they'll keep attracting players, so it shouldn't be too hard to, you know, turn anyone's head. I don't know if they need another striker, you know, but.
Well, yeah, they're going to ship one out, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone will go.
They've got Pizarro. He doesn't need to be there, I don't think.
But I mean, how long is Gomez, who had scored like 50 goals the year before, going to be willing to be second fiddle? I mean, honestly, if they're going to bring in a guy like – if they were to bring in a guy like Lewandowski, you would have to say Gomez is going because, I mean, how are you going to have Mandzukic, who's played amazing this season as his replacement – Gomez and Lewandowski. You don't have playing time for those three strikers, so someone's got to go. And Gomez being, even though he kind of looks a little older, he's not that old.
No,
maybe 28. He's not too old,
right? I mean, but he'd probably be the one moving on. You would think. I mean, just because he's the one.
I'm sure City would buy him.
Yeah, why not? No reason not to. Yeah. The guy scores goals by the boat.
They need another striker with size and. Mm-hmm. Hold up the ball since they
sold. Right. They'll probably ship Dzeko back.
Yeah.
They wanted four.
Yeah.
But then they sold Mario.
Right. They did sell Mario. What can you do? What can you do? But here's the one thing, though. From the neutral's perspective, it's kind of shitty because it doesn't leave much for the second leg.
Yeah, a little bit.
But considering I wanted – these are the results that I wanted, I'm not complaining.
I think the second leg of Bayern Barcelona is, I mean, that's a lot more of a done deal. Real Madrid Dortmund, you know Madrid are going to go for it.
And yeah, but
as soon as I think as soon as Dortmund score a goal,
it's over.
And it's over. If Dortmund score a goal, they will. You think? I think they will. But I mean, as far as being devil's advocate, it's not unfeasible to consider that Real Madrid could.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing for the contest would be an early Real goal.
We begged for that a couple of times.
Yeah,
I think we got it in the Milan Barca tie. I think we asked for it.
Yeah,
it didn't come to the right.
No, it didn't come to fruition. Right. But what can you do? But I mean, so it looks like we're going to have an all German final, which sets up all sorts of amazing subplots because you have the Götze playing against his future team, and then he wants to win it with them. Who knows? It could be their two best players going to the other team, which is pains me to say it. But I mean, who's to say that? I don't know. End with a nice final hurrah. You know, I mean, the spirit behind the Dortmund team is great. They have a great chemistry together. They've been exciting to watch. You know, they had that great comeback against Malaga in those last few minutes. I mean, we all thought they were dead and buried, but they've kept it alive. I'm feeling good, Joseph. I'm so mad because I made the pick that Dortmund would win this fucking tournament.
And you didn't put any money on it.
I didn't put any money on it. I advised everyone in a Pintcast multiple times.
I've heard.
But I didn't heed my own advice.
Better luck next time, buddy.
Yeah. What can you do?
Not a bunch.
Well, let's move on. So, I mean, there's been some other big news that's come out. Also breaking that day, there's a story of the Real manager going back to Chelsea. I mean, this hasn't been confirmed. It was in build also. And the thing is, if it's in build or L'Equipe, you know, from France, those are usually pretty reliable sources. Then they're talking about Mourinho going back to Chelsea and Falcao being on his way there too, which is
kind of what we thought months ago was where
right.
He was
well, it
be
is
headed, right?
Not a new one.
None of that's surprising to hear.
No.
But it's also something that I don't think any of us really wanted to come to fruition because
absolutely not.
Mourinho back at Chelsea immediately makes them contenders again. I mean, you know, real contenders. And then a guy like. No, it does. Joseph's making eyes over here.
No, I don't think it makes him a contender yet. I mean,
no, it makes him a contender plus Falcao. Well, no, I'm saying that plus Falcao having a 50 million pound striker that's actually worth 50 million pounds instead of fucking Torres.
They don't have a defense like the one he inherited.
You're right. They don't have that, but they'll spend money. He's not going there unless they're going to spend money.
There will be $150 million or pound. Outlay this summer.
Maybe not that much. Maybe it'll only be two players, but maybe it'll be, you know, the 60 million euro, you know, Falcao, and then the best defender on the market, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, or a new powerhouse midfielder. I don't know. But they're going to make at least two big signings with him coming in.
That's all they really need, though. A little sharpness up top, and then either that defensive midfield role or that center back, if they can lock one of those. You know, David Luiz has featured in defensive mid for a few times for them and done mixed results. I think he gives the ball away sloppily sometimes, but as far as his passing range and what he can do from that position, he's potent.
I like the idea. Conceptually, I'm actually on board with that in the sense that, look, I know he's not the finished product. The thing is, he's also still young.
He's a good defender.
I think he's a decent defender, but I think he might have a future in defensive midfield too. I think it's a decent option. Oh no, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I think he'll stay as a center back. Yeah,
maybe. But I mean, Benitez has been playing him through the middle. It depends on what Mourinho wants to do with him. Is really what's going to matter.
They need a left back. They need a center back. They still need a right back. They need a lot more in defense than just a player.
You don't like Azpilicueta?
No, I think he's the truth. I think he's real. I think he's done very well at right back. He's letting Ivanovic actually get back to his real. So I feel like people forget Ivanovic is a center back. You know, he's been playing right.
Ivanovic was their best player last season, and he's been still one of their good players this season as well. So, he's their utility guy who really does everything. He scored the first goal, or no, he didn't score. I think Bozo scored it. But yeah. there's not a lot of love for Chelsea on this side of town. Yeah, that's the general sentiment whenever we talk about them. But so that's a big story coming into the league. But more importantly, is what they do from here on out. We have the rest of the run in. Which just to address that point that we're talking about though with David Luiz, I've always thought since it seems we'll get to some Arsenal stuff right now too. It seems like Arsenal have settled upon that our first choice partnership in the back is Mertesacker and Koscielny, because it seems they complement each other the best.
Okay.
I've always said we seem to be lacking something in defensive midfield. I don't understand why they don't try to play Vermaelen there a little bit. You know, it's just an idea. I don't think they'll fuck with it right now.
Yeah, I think you'd have to get him to buy into that role.
Right. But right? I mean,
but if you're talking about kind of being demoted and, you know, and changing roles, I think that's why.
But the thing is,
maybe in the summer they could do it.
Right. In the summer they could do it. They can't do it really right now unless we really came down with some injuries and stuff. But, you know, the thing is, he used to be so good going forward for us. And the thing is, he can tackle.
Although, yeah.
I don't know. It's just an idea.
Can you
imagine? I think that the project with him is similar to what the project is with Luis, and you could see success in both cases were they to try it. I just don't know that Wenger's as willing as Benitez is to try something like that.
I don't think so.
He gives away so many fouls at the top of the box. He would give away more fouls in that area than Song did.
Maybe.
Has Vermaelen ever played there? Do you know? I know he's played left back a fair amount, but has he played in midfield that you know of?
Not much.
That I know of.
Not much. I think he played some back in the day, but I don't think that's it. He's never featured there. It's never been his position. But, I mean, you look at his tendencies. I mean, he really scored a few, you know, 10 goals in his first season with us as a defender. You know, he used to do those runs bombing forward quite successfully. So I just don't see why it's not an avenue that's, you know, that's at least looked at. But we've got a few big matches coming up. Obviously, the run-in, Arsenal's run-in isn't easy, but we only have four matches. Well, we have United this weekend, which is the big one.
Technically, it should be easy.
Ours
is the easiest run.
Technically, in terms of fixtures.
Because we have...
Do you want to just refresh me on where the points are, where the games left are? Because it's realistically, we were talking about Arsenal, Tottenham, and Chelsea, right?
That's it. The others are not.
There's no one else is really points-wise can...
I mean, as we stand right now, Arsenal are in third place, having played a match less than the other two. A match more. I'm sorry. We played 34, and we're on 63 points. Chelsea and Tottenham have played 33 matches, and they're on 62 and 61, respectively.
Their game in hand is against each other, though.
Right. So technically, if our fate lies in our own hands, as they like to say. Because if we were to win out, and I think the thing is that we're not, I believe I can stand for Joseph in this, that we don't believe that we'll win out, you know, especially taking into consideration the United match on Sunday. But we're really hoping that your boys partied hard and maybe they're still partying hard and celebrating that victory, because we want them hungover or something once they come to the Emirates on Sunday.
Yeah, there's a decent chance of that. You know, it's not every day you win your club's 20th league title, so they might be on board with some party buses. But I don't know. We tend to get up for Arsenal. I think Sir Alex has said that he wants us to set that points tally record, which would only actually be capable or feasible if we win out.
And
I mean, I know we play Arsenal. I think we still have to play Chelsea at home, away to Swansea, I want to say. So it's going to be tough for us to win out. I don't see us winning out either. But as far as this game against Arsenal goes, I have no idea. It's a toss-up.
Honestly, I see a score draw.
I thought we'd win 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll stick with it.
I still think we're going to drop points in some match we shouldn't.
Yeah, for sure. it would be very Arsenal to win this match and then drop points against, who do you have, like Wigan or something?
We have Wigan and Newcastle, and
Newcastle on the last day of the season.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think matches. Of who the other game is.
We have, it's Sunderland or something. I think it's Sunderland.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, we have United, Wigan, Sunderland. Something like that. Yeah. All right. United. No, we have QPR.
That's who it is.
Sorry. That's what it was. Not Sunderland. So United, QPR, Wigan, Newcastle. And to be honest, those last two, I mean, obviously it's going to be Wigan are going to be fighting for their life because they're mired in relegation battle, and they need to win. You'd have to say they have to win two matches to maybe stay up out of the last five, and a team in the bottom. That's a tall order. So they're going to need to win that match. Newcastle should be safe on the last day.
It's away, though.
Yeah, we are away, and Newcastle are full of a bunch of see you next Tuesdays.
And especially their manager.
Yeah, their manager. Alan Pardew can go fuck himself.
Probably does. He probably looks at himself in the mirror while he does it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he certainly does. I'm sure he does.
And celebrates.
Surprise! Oh. God, that gave me the worst visual.
Sorry. I mean, Chelsea had the worst run-in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Chelsea have tough because coupled with their league matches, which are difficult, I think they're still banging in the Europa League. They won today, 2-1. So
good for them. You know.
Good for them.
More games for those folks. But, yeah. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I'd like to see Chelsea fall out and Tottenham nip into fourth. I don't know. I'm mixed because I feel like, you know, depending on how Tottenham finish depends on the future of what's his name, Gareth Bale.
Yes.
I wouldn't be shocked if he signs for United in the next year or two. You know, but I think that is contingent upon how Tottenham do. You know, if Tottenham are in Champions League, there's no need for him to leave anytime soon. But
yeah,
But even then, I honestly the only chance they have of him not leaving is for them to win. And I think it's very contingent on what Cristiano does, because if Cristiano, there's a lot of speculation that Cristiano might leave Madrid in the next year or two. But you know, Mourinho's gone. He might leave. He might go to PSG. Who knows where he might end up. But if he leaves, you know, we know that Real want Bale, you know, and technically if there's any club that's bigger in stature than United, it might be Real, you know. I mean, so if that's where they want him, and especially if a guy like Cristiano leaves, and he's the kind of guy that could fill that hole, because he's the guy who, you know, plays in that same sort of mold and molds his game on Cristiano's in that sense. You know, that's where you see it going. So, and I don't think it's a done deal. If even if they do make the Champions League, I think he still might take off. You know,
yeah, it depends on who. Yeah, who's well. There's only a few teams that have the money to come in with it.
Right. It depends on how much they want him and what they're willing to pay. And obviously, you know, Dan Levy
gets his money's worth.
Gets his money's worth. He knows his way around a dollar.
He'll drive a bargain because I feel like Barrel signed a new contract in the last year or two, last 2 years for sure. So, and there's a buyout clause there. So we'll see. I think this summer transfer speculation and transfer, you know, activity is going to be kind of obviously, I think it's just a question of that first domino. You know, Götze to Bayern might be the first domino, as far as who Dortmund go out and pick up and, you know, how the fallout from that. But we'll see. We'll see. I think that's still kind of a little ways away.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see in that case whether or not Dortmund are able to reinvest all that money into an immediate replacement, you know, because for them there's a lot that that kind of hinges on – because let's say they only lose Götze. Mm-hmm. They can sustain and be okay next season. But then who do they bring in? You know, all right, they could sign one player of – decent quality and bring them in, they'd be okay. But if they lose him and Lewandowski this year, they're going to need at least one marquee signing to replace him, you know? Because, I mean, they'll make 50-plus million on those two, because Lewandowski isn't going for – granted, he only has 1 year left on his contract, but he'll still go for – you know, if Van Persie went for 24 million at 29 years old, Lewandowski's, what, 23, 20, 24 years old? You know, he's going to go for – he'll go for 25 million at least.
I'd say 24, 25 million just because he is in that last year of his deal.
And maybe 30 because of that performance last week or yesterday. It just depends on who is willing to put up the money for him and who's willing to bid on him. If there's a bidding war, then who knows what happens. But
yeah.
I'm just curious as to whether or not, because if that happens, then Dortmund have to replace. Otherwise, they'll still be okay, but there's no way they're going to contend for a title. How do they contend against Bayern if they don't replace with, you know, isn't it not allowed to reinvest that money?
Exactly. And especially when you consider that Bayern have Pep next season, too. It's like,
we still have Klopp. It's all right.
Well, do you get into that even if they had two marquee signings? Are they still going to be good enough to win that title?
No, I mean.
So do you have to do a marquee signing?
No, actually, here's what I do. I just, it all came to me. Fuck Chelsea. Let's hijack their deal. sign Falcao with that money from those two, and then you can contend, right?
Absolutely.
Götze, Lewandowski out, Falcao in. I need to write an email to
write a letter.
That's it.
Text him.
Oh my god, I'm gonna get Klopp on the phone.
Yeah.
Stat.
There again.
Man.
It's an option.
If only I thought that was realistic. But I mean, but honestly, if they could sign a 20 to 30 million pound striker, and one doesn't pop into my head immediately of who they could do. You know, I think Llorente is he officially off to?
I think he's officially off to Juve for
next season.
Yeah, I think that's a done deal.
So I'm not exactly sure. Maybe they can take Mario Gomez from
Bayern.
Little swap.
What's Bentner up to? He's still at Juve on the bench.
I think he's back. Actually, he's recovering.
The greatest striker in the world.
Yeah, so he thinks. Yeah, right. Self-titled.
Right.
I'm sure he. Yeah, I'm sure he would back himself to take over.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But
yeah.
let's get back to the Premier League though, and just saying. So how do you think it's going to end up? I know you said that you want to see Chelsea drop out
fifth.
The thing for me with that though is that like I don't think them finishing fifth affects the money they spend, except for that it might sway a player that would come to them. You know, the fact they don't have Champions League.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of ifs.
There's a lot of ifs, and so a lot of that has to wait. But but how's it going to end? I mean, Chelsea do have the toughest running in terms of fixtures.
Mm. I think Chelsea falls out. I think Arsenal will stay in third, and I think Tottenham will pip them in fourth.
I could live with that.
I could live with that. I don't think that's how it's going to end, but I can live with it.
I do think that this match – when do they play? That Chelsea
I want to say it's one of the latter games. It's maybe like their third to last game. Yeah, it's not next. It's not coming up next.
Yeah.
Chelsea play who? Are you looking
at? I'm talking about Chelsea-Tottenham because I think that match is going to decide it. The winner of that match makes the top four. The loser drops out.
Don't forget, Chelsea play Everton the last match of the season as well. So, I mean, Everton are only realistically playing. They're playing for Europe, but for Europa. And, you know, last game of the season, I want to say it's
Swansea. And then they have United the following week. And then they have a midweek game against Spurs.
Yeah, midweek game. That's good.
Then they finish.
Right after United, huh? Yeah, because it could be that week could be the undoing of.
And then they get a cakewalk in Villa.
Yeah, Villa is a cakewalk. Everton, who knows? Everton could be pipping them for fifth by then.
They could be. Could be.
I'm okay with that. I'd be very okay with seeing that happen. Let's not say Swansea.
It's at Chelsea though.
Whatever. I mean, Tottenham have won some big matches lately. They beat. Well, granted, they were at home right against City the other week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were at home, but they still won.
I mean, so the thing is what I really want. I want one team to do well. Like, it just has to go one way or the other. Either one team needs to start dropping points or the other. I've been happy that one does it, then the other does it, and one and the other. But
if they can just draw out both of them, I'll be happy.
let's just say, come Cinco de Mayo against Manchester United, they were to lose that match. Chelsea, I'm talking about. And then they go on to lose to Tottenham back-to-back, 6 points dropped in a week. That should be it.
It should be it.
Yep.
So that week is going to decide everything, you'd say, right? So probably, we got that next week to look at. That's going to be some crazy shit because it could be everything right there. It's too bad that they'll still get Mourinho and Falcao even if they drop out of the Champions League.
Yeah.
What other team can say that, you know?
None.
Fucking bastards.
None. It's just going to be, I mean, I don't know. I personally, just as far as the balance goes, I mean, Tottenham, I feel like people forget Tottenham did finish fourth last season, you know, and they were fucked out of Champions League. So for me and just, you know, divine justice, I think I'd like to see them, you know, take fourth and actually have a chance to run out in Champions League. Because the last time they weren't out, it was actually pretty entertaining. You know, that was kind of the season that Bale broke out, right?
Well, yeah, you know that. But the thing is, but we just want them to eat dicks. Forever, you know. The best thing about watching Spurs end a season is that they're always mindful of the collapse themselves, just because they're so used to doing it every year. So I mean, if they're already bricking themselves, but I mean, they've played well. they've played well. I really think AVB's been the difference.
He's definitely been the difference.
Good old Airy was not – he's not known for his tactics.
They would already be in sixth.
They would be, for sure. For sure they would be. And, I mean, AVB's a good manager that didn't get enough credit. I mean, he had a lot of hype coming in, but, you know, Chelsea – I don't
know. Unfortunately, he was a right hire for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and that also might be the reason why they pip it over him, because, you know, that's the big triumph for him. I mean, think about it. Him knocking Chelsea out of the Champions League and getting in with Tottenham.
Yeah.
I mean, I think after looking at these fixtures, I tend to side with you guys that maybe – or do you think it'll be Chelsea to drop out or no?
Yeah, I think it will be – I've thought that just based on the schedules, even we were looking at with nine games out, it looked based on the run at the end of the season you know, I mean, that's a tough schedule. Any time of year, this is a tough five matches left.
Yeah, no, that's tough, man. If they could drop points to Swansea at home, man, then
Swansea's been playing so horribly, you know, lately.
They're so inconsistent, man.
They won their cup and they've kind of checked out.
They checked out
against us.
Can we give them a little something?
They checked out against United, didn't they?
We haven't. I think we need to play them again. We drew them. I know we drew the last time we played.
They checked out against Spurs, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Right after us.
Well, they gave us a battle for a while, and then.
Well, yeah, but we haven't been playing well.
Yeah. This is true. I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do this weekend. So Giroud is out for three matches.
Yeah. For falling over the ball and injuring an ankle.
I mean, it was a very soft red card. I don't know. I half expected it to get rescinded, and if we were Manchester United, that would have been rescinded.
Potentially, maybe.
Yes. Just say yes.
It's okay. We know you guys have them in your pocket. It's all good. Yeah. The Fergie Association.
That's right.
But what can you do? Well, so here's the thing, though, DK.
Yeah.
We are going to be starting with either like Theo or Gervinho up top. Against you.
It's going to be Gervinho.
It'll probably be Gervinho, and that's probably best for us because you never know what the fuck he's going to do. Gervinho doesn't know what the fuck he's going to do.
You cannot set up against Gervinho.
There's no way to predict.
There's no way to predict what the hell we don't know. He doesn't know.
I feel like as he's dancing, he still doesn't know. You know, he's probably one of the most irky jerk, dribblers that I've seen, but I don't know.
But some days it works.
But some days it has worked. That's the thing.
Because you can't predict it. You can't predict it. Where do you feel like you – I mean, you want to just give me the full lineup as far as you think it's going to be from your side?
Well, here's our big question mark, because you would think the guy that you would want to go in up front would be Podolski, but he hasn't looked fit. I mean,
he hasn't looked fit for months.
They keep talking about it, that he's carrying an ankle injury that he might need surgery on after the season. And he looks like it, you know. He had an outlet pass in the last match when he came on as a sub. And it's like, all right, you thought he would break with it. And then he's like, was just sluggish.
Early on in the year, he would have broke that ball. Yeah.
The way he played earlier in the season, he would have been all over that. And he just hasn't had that same spark. He just doesn't look right. Doesn't look right. So
the team, well, let's see. Santi on the left.
Gervinho
in the middle. Theo on the right. You have Jack. Arteta and Ramsey in the middle.
Yeah.
And then our normal back four.
Was it going to be Nacho or Gibbs left?
It's got to be Gibbs.
Yeah.
Nacho was pretty poor last week.
Mm. So Gibbs, Koscielny, Mertesacker, Sanya, and then Chesney.
Chesney's back.
Chesney's played the last couple matches.
Fabianski's still.
Yeah. If Fabianski's better, it's just one of those things that you've. Ride the hot hand. He got injured after he was playing well, and
same thing happened to him last time.
Every time
he finally gets his shot, he gets injured.
Every time. So I mean, I don't see it changing. Also, I mean, Chesney had a great performance. Remember when we first threw him into the fire? It was against United at home, and we did lose, but he put on a great display. If you remember, that was his first start for us. Was against United at home
two seasons ago.
And I think it was like a 2-1 victory for you guys or something like that, or 2-0. I don't know, something like that. But I mean, he wasn't. It was Park Ju Young. He used to always score for you guys against us.
Park Ju Young. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that ridiculous header, right?
Yeah, into the corner or something like that. I don't know.
Deliberate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But so, I mean, so that's how we're likely to line up against you guys. I'm expecting to see, well, Judy Van Cuntface starting up front.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, you'll see him. You're giving us the guard of honor, right? That's happening.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, but it'll happen.
Yeah. Because we're a classy right. club.
As well, because it's what everybody should
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it is what we should do. You guys are the champions. You deserve it.
We wouldn't do it. I don't think they'd do anything different.
Right.
Yeah. As far as the art lineup goes, I think De Gea, yeah, in goal, naturally. Rafael, Vidic and Ferdinand, and Evra. I don't think the back four changes. Midfield is always going to be Carrick. I want to say, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see Carrick and Cleverley with Kagawa left. And I'd like to see Nani get a start. You know, I'm not too hot on Valencia this season. And then, yeah, Rooney in behind Van Persie would probably be my go-to 11.
That's what I would expect.
Yeah, sounds
other than maybe Nani, which makes sense when you say it, but it hadn't even popped into my head. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'd expect too.
Yeah. I don't know. I've had an inkling that we might get a result out of this. I think it's good for us in a sense that you guys already won the title, so there's less pressure, you know, and there was certainly a lot of, you know, Arsenal fans like to quabble over all sorts of shit. But I mean, you know, the big worry was that you guys would have a chance to win the league at the Emirates, which nobody wanted.
Nobody wanted.
So, I mean, you know, I'd much rather clap a guard of honor in the beginning and then play the match, you know.
And boo and hiss the rest of the
– Yeah, exactly.
And whistle the rest of the match.
Which is what they will be doing.
Which is what will happen.
I mean, to be honest, there will be and should be more vitriol aimed at a player probably than ever.
Yeah.
At least at the Emirates. I don't know how – I mean, at Highbury it might have been worse at some point, but – You know, I mean,
it was bad for Nasri, and it has been bad for Nasri every time.
And Adebayor as well.
Yeah, this will be worse.
Yeah, this will be worse. Just because, I mean, just because of how deep the hurt is in terms of
the tears, the dagger turn into anger.
It has to do with the statement, though, more than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, just leaving is one thing, but it's just too much.
And I just think it's too perfect from our point of view as far as he says, I'm leaving. I've not won a title. You know, I'm going to in search of trophies and, you know, first season trophy, the whole, you know, number 20 to get our 20th title. That all worked out. I'm a big fan of what.
To be honest, I would have taken this at the beginning of the season. No treble, no double. Like, that's what I was worried about, was something really big happening. I mean, I was like, just let him win one.
We knew it was going to be the title. So.
Yeah, we did. I just didn't want to see the double or a treble at the very least. So I'm okay with that. Well, let's give me your official predictions, guys. Joseph, you start.
1-0.
1-0 to the Arsenal?
Yeah.
Goal scorer? Your boy? Your boy needs to show up.
He needs to show up.
He hasn't fucking played since he signed a contract. Joseph's favorite player is one Mr. Theo Walcott. Who is not? How many goals has he scored since that?
I don't know.
Signed the contract, one or two.
One or two. It hasn't been a good run. Yeah, he needs to break out. I don't know what the problem is, but yeah,
it's time to step up. He has scored in some big games for us. He scored many a time against Chelsea.
He loves scoring against Chelsea.
That's
what I love about him.
But he never scores against United.
Well, we don't score against United.
Yeah, not the past few years. I miss that shit. Some of my best memories are from Arsenal wins over United.
Emphasis on memories.
Yeah, no shit.
It's been a couple years. When was the last time we beat United? I remember in Nasri's first year, us beating them.
No, it was like a year or two ago. It was the game, not last season, but the season before.
Oh, yeah, we got one.
Oh yeah, I think it was 1-0. I want to say at the Emirates, Ramsey scored.
Yeah, Ramsey scored.
Bin Laden got murked, so yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's right. Who's going to die when Ramsey scores?
Yeah.
That's a good chat.
That's like a pretty frightening trend, but that's cool. You know, it's been long. Yeah.
Hey, I'm okay with that. Maybe Kim Jong Un.
Yeah, that guy.
Come on, Rambo. Would you accept a United defeat if leader North Korea was killed? Rambo to get the winner.
The American in me will always say yes to that. I think pragmatism rules out.
It's easy to say when you already have the title wrapped up. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know. I'll take it. I'm not worried. I'm going to this match. I think I actually work, so I'll have to watch it on delay. But I think United, as far as my prediction goes, I'm going to say 3-1. I think Rooney gets a brace. And, you know, Kagawa jumps in and helps as well.
Well, at least Judas doesn't score.
No, I don't.
In your prediction.
Yeah,
in your prediction.
Well, if we keep Vermaelen off the pitch so he doesn't give a nice pass to Van Persie, we might be all right.
Yeah. Don't remind me about that one.
Fuck.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a score draw. I'll go with 2-2 in a 3. But you know, I really could see it going either way. So I mean, there's your wavy prediction bullshit. You know, but no, I'm predicting a score draw. But I have a feeling that we'll win it. But just my head tells me draw.
Yeah. I will predict that nobody gets bitten.
No
this
one
weekend.
Will get bitten.
Nobody will bite another player this weekend.
Oh,
post-line prediction.
Joseph, weren't you going to tell me something about a formation that Liverpool plays now?
Yeah, the 4-4 chew. Have you heard that one? They're lining up this weekend.
Borussia
Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that.
Mönchengladbach center back. Good God.
That's
creative people out there.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of Twitter. You know, it's those are the good times, you know, when something like that happens. And for an hour and a half, it's just constant. And there's just some brilliant stuff that gets.
Oh, it was so good.
Tweeted and retweeted.
I was laying on Joseph's couch, hung over his shit, and we were watching this happen. And it's like, oh, my God, he bit him. And then, yeah, it was just going off. It was it was amazing. Well. To Sunday. I'm going to miss the match, unfortunately.
I'll be watching.
I'll have it recorded, and I'll be finding out what happens at some point. But I'll be in Mexico.
Well, just like to say that...
Checking with Chicharito, because he won't be on the pitch.
Before we get... before we keep getting pulled into the silly season, and we keep forgetting that the reason why we watch is for matches, it'd be nice if everybody could just maybe enjoy the last four matches and shut up about... who might be coming or who's not going to come. And
yeah, I mean, well, the thing is that so much of that is contingent on what happens in these matches. So there's no reason to – I mean, it's always fun to speculate. Yeah, enjoy them for what they are, and we'll talk about the off season once we get there. So.
Exactly. Like I said, I think that first big signing will tip everything off, and then from there, you know, let the rumor mill spin. But until then, let's watch the match. You know, let's finish out the season. I think a couple different teams are focused on a couple different things as far as, you know, finishing in the right places. You know, setting records or doing whatever. I'm pretty sure what Premier League Golden Boot, since Suarez is banned now, I think Van Persie needs to score, two more to overtake him? He's close, right?
Yeah, I think he's only like a goal behind or so. I don't know. He'll probably get it. And Bale's a couple behind him too, right? I don't want Bale. Well, fuck. It's between Bale and Van Persie. What a nightmare scenario that is.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, thank you for joining us, DK. You can follow DK on Twitter at Earth Sports News. You can follow Joseph at I Hate Your Club. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you very much. DK will do this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have me. Thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do it again. All right, and I'll be leaving you guys a little music tonight. For Joseph's birthday, we're going to do something special, a little Archie Bell and the Drells. Tighten Up.
Houston, Texas, we don't only sing, but we dance just as good as we want. In Houston, we just started a new dance called the Tighten Up. This is the music we tighten up with. First, tighten up on the drum. Come on now, drummer. I want you to tighten it up for me now. Oh, yeah. Tighten up on that bass now. Tighten it up. Yeah. Now let that guitar fall in. Oh yeah. Time to bring an organ now. Yeah, you do the tighten up. Yeah now. I said if you can do it now, you sure will be tough. Now look here. Come on now. Now make it mellow. Tighten it up now. Do the tighten it up. Everybody can do it now. So get to it. We're gonna tighten up. Do the tighten up. You can do it now. So baby, get to it.
now, Billy. Tighten it up. Oh, yeah. Slap it to me now. Tighten it up. Come on. Tighten up that, babe.
Kick, kick.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, tighten up, babe. Come on.
Now, look here. I want that guitar to fall in on now. Tighten it up now. Oh, yeah. Now, tighten it up, boss. Yeah, now everybody tighten it up now. Now, look here. We gonna make it mellow for you now. We gonna make it mellow now. You can get it. Move to your left, move to your right. Tighten it up now. Everything will be out of sight. Come on and tighten it up. Tighten it up now. You can do it.